You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
The final whistle is all over. Jim Gavin, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer. But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Give him a goal. It's high. It's over. Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
I know Joe done a personal assassination of him this morning.
It was not an assassination of him. We have to look
at the context. Shut from it, will you?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think of that?
Hi there, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour with me, Darren O'Sullivan. I'm absolutely delighted to be joining the team here at Sports Joe. And with me today, my first two guests, former Donegal footballer, my Hell Week buddy, Emma McGee.
Cheers, Darren. Last time we were along with each other was in the back of a helicopter.
This one will be a bit safer now, I'd say.
I think so.
And former Galway fullback and Ireland international rules captain, Finian Hanley. How are you doing, Finian?
Good, Darren. Thanks for having me.
No bothers at all. So there was plenty of action on this weekend. Top of the table clashes, relegation battles. But I suppose there's only one place to start. It's the elephant in the room. It's the GAA versus the GPA over travel expenses. For me, personally, I think the GPA and the players are right to be trying to make a stand. I think they're being treated unfairly here. But I'm very curious to hear your own opinions on it. So I'll start with you, Eamon.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And for me, it's fairly black and white because... Probably you're in the same boat, Darren, that we know what it's like. We've been there. And, you know, for someone like Colm O'Rourke to just go out and, you know, be so blasé about it, it's for me, it's disrespectful to the players and disrespectful to what they're putting in. And as, like, we've talked about this off air, it's black and white. The agreement was in place. So just go back to what was agreed.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Like, the agreement was in place. I don't think it's an argument about how many times teams train. That's just going down a different argument altogether. But Finian, I suppose, like that, the players kind of put in a silence the weekend and a few managers came out and spoke, which, to be fair, I'm not sure what their reasoning was for it. For me, it's a case of if your players aren't getting treated correctly, you do a silence as well with them. So it's a bit strange. I see our own manager down in Kerry, Jack O'Connor, came out and so did Pádraig Joyce. I was a bit surprised and I was a bit disappointed with it.
Yeah, it's a funny one really, isn't it? Like, it's as you say, it's the elephant in the room. Now, I heard Tom Parsons last night on League Sunday saying that they were going to escalate things further. But I suppose for years we're talking about, you know, making a stand and stuff like that. Now, I don't know how far they're going to go with this. But as Eamon says there, it's, you know, look, it's black and white. You're dragging players, you know, from one side of the county to the other. And I know... You know, off air we were talking about strength and conditioning coaches and stuff like that, and you know everyone is getting paid now in teams and stuff. So, and they have to merit their own, you know, their own jobs have to be merited as well, and you know they're paid officials. Whereas, I suppose the only people really that are, you know, in a setup that aren't getting paid for it is the players. And I get the amateurism and all that sort of stuff, and we don't want to move away from that, but you know it shouldn't, like, and given the cost of petrol and diesel now and everything like that. Jesus, it's simple, you know, reimburse the players for any time they go training. Go after the county boards, go after the management with regards to restricting training sessions. But again, they'll be breaking rules like these training brands again, and it'll be kind of, you know, it'll just fall back to the way it was. So look, reimburse the players for the time they put in. Whatever they have to go to, they should be paid for.
Yeah, I think you're right. And like we said earlier, it was an agreement that was in place. It was put on hold, I suppose, while COVID was around and we had restrictions in capacity to go into games and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it was an agreement. COVID it's not over, but we're living normal lives now and things should be back to normal like that. The GAA did make a surplus as well throughout all this. And the players aren't looking for anything unusual. This, as we said, it was arranged. And even when I started playing, it was 3 field sessions a week and 2 gym sessions a week.
And it's never going to go back. People talk about amateurism. It's never, like, the genie's out of the bottle in terms of the expenses system is here. Mm-hmm. Players are getting a few pound. You know, maybe they can put a few of that in the pocket, but a majority of that is going towards travel expenses. And the talk also of the limiting the sessions, we couldn't, as it's going to be an honour system, so we're relying on people to be honest about this. We couldn't maintain that during a pandemic. So what hope have we to maintain? Keep it to three sessions, lads. And they'll all say, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just not going to happen. You have to make peace with that. Managers are going to maximise what they have. And, you know, players shouldn't be out of pocket for that.
No, and yeah. Look, to be fair to Tom, he spoke really well. And Eamon, you mentioned to me earlier as well, like, and nowadays it's very hard for all these students who are, I think they're a big portion of the inter-county scene, they can't get part-time jobs. They don't have time for them. So their only source, and it's not an income, it's an expense. Their only source of a few bob is to get expense for the travel and the cost of playing county football. And this argument of, oh, you should, it's a pleasure to play. Of course it is. We all love playing, but you shouldn't be out of pocket. And then comparing club and county, people are forgetting these county boys are club players as well. And they're the ones generating all the money. We want to see the highest quality of football we can see. And to do that nowadays, you have to train. You have to be in on the pitch and in the gym.
Exactly. County players are in an elite bracket here. And we can't compare county players to club players. And this whole argument, not club players are doing it. Fair play to them. They're doing it and they're putting in a big effort. But these are elite players. And we'll be the same books. We'll be on this programme, you know, hopefully in the future. And we'll be lambasting because they can't put the ball over the bar or, you know, they're not getting the kick-out press. And this all takes time and this all takes preparation. So, you know, we can't have it both ways.
No.
Yeah, and the thing, I suppose, that, like, you know, you had before, Eamon, you had before the training bans, the nonsense of training bans, and you could only go back at a certain time. I know when I was playing, I saw bigger itineraries around the time the training ban was supposed to be in. And like, you're not allowed back until the 8th of December. Sure, October was flooded with gym sessions and this, that, and the other. It was the biggest pile of nonsense, and no one was reprimanded. Everyone knew everyone was training, but it was just really like it was just throwing something out there for the sake of it. So as you say, it's not gonna go back or get in. Like, teams are training now before the All Ireland final is played. They were back in August and September, back when it was in September. So, like, it's not going to change. It's only going to get more and more and more. I know they're trying to keep away from semi-professionalism and stuff like that, but Jesus, this is a small thing to reimburse a lad for going to somewhere he has to go to. And it's easy to say, sure, look, if you don't want to play head off, but you're, who will we be left with then, you know?
That's such a great point. Like, this whole, you make a decision to play. Of course we do, but you want to see the best players playing the high profile games. And like we've said, it would be blue in the face. We could spend a whole show talking about this, but to be competing at the highest level, you have to be doing that bit extra. And that's what it's about. And like we said before, we could be going over and over. This was an agreement put in place that was changed for COVID. And we're back to normal times and the players should be respected enough. Like Eamon, you said there, we're going to be on this show talking about them, good or bad, or saying they should do this, they shouldn't do that. It's high pressure. These lads are putting themselves out there, and you'd say it's a choice, but they're putting themselves out there for our enjoyment. Do you know, we're getting to watch them week in, week out. And we want to see, I do anyway, I want to see them play into the best of their abilities. And to do that, you have to be on the pitch training hard, you have to be in the gym training hard. And that's all these players want to do.
And I agree 100%. I want the club game and the county game to nearly be two different things. The club game is more about, you know, that amateurism and what, you know, what the majority of the GAA is about. But I also want a window for that elite system, that elite player. And like, when I want to watch Donegal, I want them to be able to do the best that they're able to do. And, you know, that's, as I said earlier on, that takes time and it takes prep.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's just on that point, Damon. I think that's a good point. And I think, you know, I'm involved with my own club there as well. And I worry for the club game because it's becoming copying the county game, and you've got lesser players, as in lesser players with lesser ability, you know, and it's becoming more processed. And I really hope the club game stays a bit more fun, or I don't know what the word is, but a bit more off the cuff and a bit more kind of, you turn up 7 o'clock on a Tuesday evening and you're gone at 8, you know, you're not turning up at 5:30 to go prep. And, you know, it shouldn't be the way at club level. It's a different level. Do you know what I mean? And I know, look, the club game is great, and I think it's great because it was great because it's a bit more off the cuff, but I wouldn't like to see it start going.
If you get, you know, me started in this, Finian, I could be here for the next hour about, you know, what they're expecting the club players. So
yeah, big time. And I'd say we're all in the same boat. Like, Jesus, turn up at 7, have the training session. And look, you know, we fall into the trap because we have to be doing what in Galway, you know, Curfin have set the mold and, you know, a professional outfit, and obviously in your own counties as well. But like, Christ above, Jesus, let the boys have a few pints and enjoy it and let it be what it was, you know, when we started playing.
Yeah, well, look, lads, you're lucky enough that if my club are training at 7, I do have to be there around 5:30 because I'm as stiff as a board. It takes me ages to warm up nowadays. The body's broken. But
like, you're the problem, Darren, I tell you. You're setting the tone for the club players, bringing in all the old Kerry setups you're involved in.
I'm the issue in the club with all the bends and stuff to keep me put together. But like, I think, Eamon, you're right with the semi-professional. Look, it's an argument we could say, but GA is everything, is professional and everything but name at the moment. Do you know? The athletes we have playing the game now are phenomenal. Like,
yeah, you know, the semi-professional argument, we have to protect the GA. I'm really, really passionate about that and feel strongly that we have to protect it from becoming full-time professional. But with, maybe it's an option, and I'm not advocating it, but I'm just saying the option is there, that is it a possibility to say, right, GA players go semi-pro and remove the expenses system that's there? Because, you know, I laugh back in my early days with the county, there was a few boys around the squad that there was...
Don't name names.
No, I can't name names. I can't name them. How do I phrase this without hanging the man? But the males were extra, that wee bit extra long now, and might have been going the long way of the training. And
what you're saying is Neil had bigger mileage coming from the same house, is that it?
Yeah, they couldn't work out where the two McGee's were coming from. it wasn't us now, in fairness, we're too honest. But no, there was a few boys that would have milked it. But just go back to the semi-professional thing. It's an option on the table. Do we go down it for, you know, 4 or 5 months of the year where county board's paid? There's a fund there, and the expenses system, which is a costly thing on the GA and the county boards, remove it and just say, this is your total for the week while we prepare.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's one of them arguments that the more developed the game is getting, the bigger it's getting, the more popular it's getting, you're risking going down that. And do you know what? You could bring in 100 people in here and 50 will go one way and 50 will go the other way. I don't think you'll ever get full agreement on it. But like that, what we're saying is the game is going that way. The players actually physically, mentally can't give any more than they're given at the moment. And I don't know, would semi-professional be sustainable financially? Or let's say if you have a good career, you've got your degree, is it worth your while to be going down it? But it is an argument that we'll have to have sooner or later, because that's just the way the game is going. But I suppose with everything going on, we actually forgot that there was a couple of high profile matches on as well the weekend.
Yeah, we'll need to nip the games, chat about the games here.
Top of the table clashes, relegation battles. But I suppose we'll start close to home for me. We'll start with Kerry, Ossentaack Park against Mayo. Kerry came out just on top, but I think it was a game that both teams would have wanted. Finian, I'm going to go to you, because obviously Galway will be keeping an eye on Mayo and you'll be checking it out. You had Clifford inside, Oisín Mullen marking him, couldn't hold him, but I actually think Tony Bradson might be the trump card for Kerry this year. But from a Galway point of view, watching Mayo, what you make of it?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, Darren, I think Mayo are going very well. I think we'd all agree they've they've really put impetus on the league this year, and over the last couple of years they've been kind of a bit flaky in the league, kind of hanging in there, winning last minute battles to stay up and all that sort of stuff. But certainly over the last 2 years, and particularly this year, like they've a very good panel now. I think they've, you know, on Saturday night, whilst I thought the game was, you know, it was intriguing, it wasn't a great spectacle, obviously the conditions were poor, but you had two inside men, which was great to see, which, you know, it was positive from a spectator's point of view that you had Clifford, obviously, and Brosnan, and up the other side you had Ryan O'Donoghue, who I thought was excellent. Winning the first time ball is serious. I think Mayo are strong. I think the difference at the minute between Mayo and Galway is Galway's opposition, the teams they're playing, Division 2, I would say, is a little bit on the weaker side. And, you know, when you're coming in to play against Mayo, who are going to Tyrone, going to Kerry, you know, and really, really, you know, to the pin of their collar in all these games against the top teams, that, you know, you don't want to be going in there cold. You need some tough games. But I thought it was tight. I actually thought Mayo were going to win it in the end. I thought they were a little bit better, you know, coming down the stretch, and their use of the ball was very clever. But look, Kerry up front, I think I think we're getting into a front three kind of idea in the GAA, like we have in soccer. You know, in Liverpool we had Firmino, Salah, Mane. You know, you have Neymar and the lads at PSG and stuff. I think, you know, Brosnan, Gainey, Clifford, you know, what Mayo could have, they could have O'Connor, Conroy, if he was fit, and Ryan O'Donoghue, like, and then everyone else then has fallen off. So it's intriguing to see all these kind of front trees, you know, Highland and Flynn up in Kildare and things like that. So, you know, I think you've got some really, really good forwards, and hopefully we'll be able to see that in the drier conditions. But, you know, Kerry full value, you know, for where they are because of the panel they have, and obviously Jack O'Connor has made a huge difference.
Yeah, I think so. And I, like you said there about the options Mayo have, their squad looks really strong at the moment. They've added a good bit of pace, and someone who I actually thought was a bit quieter the weekend, Dermot O'Connor, he was doing step overs there, so you show the confidence. But for me, he was playing so well on the 40, I think it's a bit strange to move him from there. But from a Kerry point of view, I think they needed that tough game. I think they wanted it. I think the fact that Mayo pulled them back late on and they managed to edge in front again, that I think Jack will be absolutely delighted with that. And for me personally, it's the same argument with Kerry every year. It's about the backs. Are they strong enough? It's the same players, but Jack seems to have him wanting to defend now, wanting to get back and get tackles in, which was pleasing from a Kerry point of view. And Eamon, you would have played in a very strong defensive team with Donegal. How are you seeing it?
Yeah, I'm liking what I'm seeing. And, you know, that was the argument over Kerry. Could they were always going to score with the quality they have, but could they, you know, hold them out at the other end? And, you know, they're heading in the right direction. I thought, you know, when Buckley was involved the first year, I think, was it 2019? Mm-hmm. And they lost Buckley. They lost a bit of momentum in that direction. But they're heading, like, they're becoming tougher to score against. I'm not saying they're anywhere near perfect, but they're becoming tougher to score against. And they're always going to hurt teams going the other way. And it's interesting to listen to Jack O'Connor's post-match interview, where he talked about he was looking to see that response, and, you know, he knew Mayo were going to take them to that place, and I think that's because he knows he's not going to get it in the Munster champion. So he needs to see, can the squad answer? Do they have the answers? It happened in the semi-final against Tyrone, where they got into a hole and they just couldn't get out of it, and Jack O'Connor needs to know, do these boys, are they able to respond?
Yeah, I think so. And I, look, it's been an age-old argument that Kerry can't deal with runners, but to be fair, I don't think there's many teams at the moment their defenders can deal one-on-one and with runners. So look, I think Kerry brought in Paddy Talley, he seems to be doing a good job, and most of Jack's interviews have been emphasising the improvement in defence, and what he wants is players that are putting their bodies on the line and willing to double and treble up on a man. And Finian, you mentioned it there about the playing as three forwards. Kerry, actually, they are doing that now, but they're doing the four. Obviously, Shawnee wasn't there the last day, but you're going to have Shawnee, Shea, you're going to have Paddy Clifford, who we'll talk about later because he missed an awful free. I wouldn't even miss that.
Paddy Clifford.
David Clifford, and probably one other, and you've probably Paul Gainey, Killian Spillane, and Tony Brosnan fighting for that one position. I have a feeling Tony, it could be his year to come on. He could be Kerry's trump card, because genuinely, there's no better kicker over the last couple of years in county championship football with Kerry. And you mentioned Ryan O'Donoghue as well, Finian, and he provided great leadership up there, and you add him into the mix when Killian O'Connor hopefully gets back, and Mayo are going to be challenging, and like we all know that they're all heart and pride, but they seem to have a bit more quality there, so I think it'd be interesting. And in fairness, Finian, like you're on about Galway, they're top scorers in Division 2, but they're conceding quite a bit as well.
They are, yeah. Yeah, look, it's you know, obviously Pádraic is emphasis is on, you know, going forward as best they can. Now, Keane O'Neill is up there this year, I suppose, similar to what Kerry have done with Paddy Talley, trying to, you know, bolster the tackling and defensive system. I think, you know, they have improved this year defensively, but look, when you're go forward, like, a lot of their backs are attacking players, you know, John Daly, you know, Kyle Sweeney from my own club, they're all real attack minded. Even the fullback line, you know, Liam Silk, you know, they're all going up the pitch. So they're putting up big scores. Obviously you'll meet different opposition. But look, there's a lot of quality in Galway as well, and I think, you know, when it comes to Galway Mayo, anything can happen. But look, Ryan O'Donoghue is a huge find for Mayo. He's like winning your own ball or winning the first time ball, you know, he can win it anyway, and that's key, particularly in this time of year with conditions poor. So like he's a huge find. It's obviously a pity for Mayo that Tommy Conroy is out, another guy who's brilliant at winning first time balls. So, you know, Mayo seemed to have unearthed a few. Aidan Norm kicked a good score the last night against the Wind as well. So, look, it's intriguing coming into April. And the last couple of league games in Division One are going to be huge as well. So, look, it's exciting. It's just a pity we don't have games like Saturday night in July.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. It's a pity now that we're not getting games like that in the better conditions. But I suppose going from top of the table to the bottom of the table, we had, I thought my first show would be relegating Dublin, but the real Dublin stood up in the first half against Tyrone. And Tyrone looked like they have a couple of issues going on at the moment. They just don't seem to be hitting the ground at all. And Hamsey's red card, it was a silly...
It was silly, you know, and probably his club mate Shuda McKernan should have got a red too. It was a needless tackle on Fenton and a dirty tackle too, yeah, at that. So I felt he should have got red. But for Hamsey, there was nothing really to it, but he should know better, because when you're in that yellow, and you know, you might not know much about it, but me and Hanley know a lot about this. When you're in that yellow, you've got to keep the bib squeaky clean.
I'm normally the Carmel Costello in this.
Yes, you're the victim all the time. And he just played into the Dubs' hands by doing it. And we've all been there where nothing's going right, there's frustration, and you just that we lash out. And again, he just put it on the pressure on Tyrone. And that first half from Dublin, that was a kind of a sound out to everybody that we haven't gone away, you know, because we'd all written the obituaries and Dublin were finished. And the second half, there was definitely a dip. You know, they struggled at patches, but that first half, there was a lot of what they do and the way they went about it, the way they moved the ball and their mentality and the way they tracked back. That was the Dublin. All right, it's still a long way from their prime, but it was the Dublin of old.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there as well. Like, it was their transition. Like, something I thought was lacking. For me, they were always the best scramble defence out of all teams, and they did the simple things right continuously. And against Tyrone was the first time I actually seen him do that scramble defence, where they were getting two and three bodies round, getting the turnover and transitioning at pace. And like that, I suppose the game again the last day, Fenton and Kilkenny were standouts again, and they've been the leading lights. And a few more players are back from Finney in the weekend. They had a bit more of a usual Dublin look to them, and like we mentioned there, their defensive structure was better, their pace was better, just their basic skills.
Yeah, they were definitely, I suppose, they had Cormac Costlow, Robbie McDade, kind of more familiar names back again. But look, they're not going back to Bernard Brogan and Philly McMahon. Those days are gone. They, you know, what we know of Dublin is they unearthed a few every year. They haven't done that in the last year or two. You know, Kieran Archer was with the under-20s. He hasn't seemed to feature and things like that. You know what I mean? So they're not bringing the players through that they had. Now, who knows what's coming in Dublin, you know, behind the 16s and 17s. There could be another Conor O'Callaghan, there could be another Kieran Kilkenny, another 10 of them. So, like, I wouldn't be writing obituaries at all. I think, you know, let's kind of try and see a few other teams get to the top before these boys, because they will be back. Look, Dublin, given the numbers, you know, and everything like that, they will be back. But the likes of Fenton and Kilkenny, like, these are generational footballers, you know, some of the greatest of all time. And, you know, going up to Tyrone, how they have the hunger to keep, you know, driving and keep going and all, you know, it's we know ourselves, we've played, and like, these guys have won everything, that, you know, and to go 6 years and win All-Irelands every year, there's going to be a blip. There's going to be a, you know, mentally it's very hard to sustain, because you just can't stay at the level unless you've got players coming behind you, driving you on. And maybe they haven't had it in the last year or two, but I've no doubt, look, Dublin will be featuring in the summer again. There's no two ways about it.
No, I think you're right. They definitely be competing. They're going nowhere. But you mentioned one player there, Conor Callan. I think the distraction of, is he available this week? Is he coming back? Are the hurlers getting on to him? For me, it's strange that they haven't nipped it in the bud. Look, he's got whatever injury, he'll be back in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know. And it was the same last year, coming up to the championship with Stephen Cluckson. Is he coming back? Isn't? Sometimes you just have to nip these things in the bud and get it over and done with it. And it creates a strange sense around the Dublin squad at the moment.
So, you know, the Stephen Cluckson thing from the outside looking in just annoyed me, because just deal with it and move on instead of hanging. And I thought, you know, Cluckson did the team no favour. And like, he's been brilliant. He's transformed the game and, you know, blah blah blah. He's the best. We're not saying anything, but what we are saying is that he didn't do his team any favours here.
No. And it became more about Stephen Clucks than it came about Dublin. For
I felt sorry for Desi at times and the way he went about it. And you just don't want to see another distraction at times, because Desi, last few months or for a few weeks, sorry, the back's been to the wall and he needs all the help he can get there.
Yeah, I suppose from a Tyrone point of view, we've kind of mentioned they look off the boil. Look, they're laid back from holidays. They don't look fit as they normally are. There's a few players, they look sluggish, they're making silly decisions, which is all down to fatigue most of the time. But I suppose the positive of the weekend was Niall Morgan. He came out for a ball there, I think it was fifth or sixth minute, caught it up high, and it was one area of the game where I actually thought he was always lacking, but it was brilliant. And he's kicking the game onto a new level. Maybe he's the new Stephen Clucksen.
He's a different type of player because he can provide that cover. You know, when you're playing out the field and you look inside, you're looking for movement, you're looking for space. But if you have a big Niall Morgan sitting in that pocket of space, then you hold on to the ball, be it a second, and he just, it's a great kind of safety blanket. You know, again, go back to it. I love the sweepers back in the day. You couldn't have enough sweepers in front of me. I hated space. And, you know, Niall Morgan in there, just another sweeper, just suited me perfectly.
I know you hated space. Every time we played against you, I could never get you one-on-one. But
I wouldn't have been marking you. You were just too far. I was marking the big man Donaghy all the time. He's just the big awkward fella.
Keep it handy.
Yes.
But we're going to skip on now straight to your old boys, Donegal and Monaghan. The reason I'm going straight to them, obviously, is you have Kieran Duffy there kicking 2 points from full back, and I don't think I've seen the two of you kick 2 points between you in your whole careers. But
I think I kicked 2 points in my career.
But yeah, fellas like that, the full backs are bringing the game to a new level. But Monaghan, it was a big win. Donegal, for me, there was a couple of years ago there, I thought this Donegal team are coming back strong, and they just seem like they're too hot and cold at the moment. Big win. And then a disappointing loss. And obviously, I know they're down bodies, but even the difference, just so reliant on Michael Murphy. Like, he's just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's again, I'm kind of tired listening to that about the Michael Murphy thing, but it's the evidence is there that we're still very reliant on him. Michael Langan is stepping up. And what frustrates me a wee bit is, as I know the lads that are coming behind him, I know the Kieran Thompsons, I know the Patter Mogans and these type of, and I know them personally, and I know that they can step up and bridge that gap that Michael's just up there. He's leading. Langan has stepped up. Patton at times has stepped up, and there's just too much of a gap from, you know, they need to start taking that leadership role. They need to start that from playing and from the personality wise, because when Michael went on yesterday, the whole thing, you know, they got a lift from it, and it shouldn't be that way. The boys are about long enough that they shouldn't have to look for Michael.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Like, it does seem like that everyone's performance raises once he steps onto the field, which is, look, it's a credit to Michael and his leadership. He's been captain since he was 21 or 2. He is phenomenal. But we talk about one generational players. Michael Murphy is that generational player. You mentioned Patton there. He had a couple of great saves yesterday, kept Donegal in the game. But I suppose, Finian, from a Monaghan point of view, they really do cherish their Division 1 status. They work like dogs, and like, they had a very disappointing game against Kerry, but they looked like a team on a mission from the first moment the game, the ball was thrown in yesterday.
Yeah, they did. And in fairness to Monaghan, over the last number of years, they've been, you know, people say they've been punching above their weight, but they've some serious footballers in Monaghan, and I actually like Monaghan this year. I think they're coming good at the right time. They found, you know, they found some players. Obviously, Conor McManus is still out there battling in the league.
Yeah.
You know, he's putting his boots on, you know, early in the season this year as well. So they're pitching for something. Obviously, an Ulster title this year again. I think they're well capable of winning one too, because, you know, they're very well coached, Monaghan. I know Liam Sheedy up there this year.
Yeah,
doing a bit with, you know, I don't know on what side, but I suppose you're bringing in experience like that. So obviously Banty is
Donny Buckley up there too,
and Donny Buckley as well. So like, look, they're very well coached, and going forward, you know, they've a pattern of play. You know, they keep width, and they're coming in off the sidelines, and there's a lot of movement when they're trying to break down opposition defenses and stuff like that. So, you know, and then obviously they're good at defending themselves. Like, a few of the old stalwarts were to the fore there on Sunday. You know, Kieran and Darren Hughes. You know, a few of the guys. You know, McInnesby. These guys who have been driving them. But look, you know, they've, you know, a long haired buck there at full forward who seemed I forget his name now, but he was
Gary Mohan.
Yeah, with the mullet, he looked like he's another player. Obviously, Conor McCarthy can, you know, has he excelled yet? He could be coming really good because he's a fine player as well. So, look, they're well coached, and I think they're well capable of putting it up to anyone in Ulster this year.
Yeah, I think you're right, Darren. To be fair, they've always been one of my favourite teams the last number of years. Just the way they play, and obviously Seamus McEnany, I just think he's an infectious character. He's a great character for a GA. He's a manager you'd like to play under. You just think he's just so much energy and drive and passion for Monaghan. It's unreal.
Is that an argument to get that you should get a Banty cam? Just watch him and watch his reactions and the passion and the how animated he gets. Because that's what he just loves Monaghan, and he just wants Monaghan to do well. And he's a character.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And I suppose the last game then of the Division One campaign the weekend was Armagh Kildare. Conditions again, like you mentioned earlier, Finian, it's just a pity we're not getting these games in June and July when the ground is hard and stuff. And Armagh came out on top. Really impressive performance. Like, McGeaney's building a team there that looks like the team he would have played in. From a Kildare point of view, I feel for them. I feel they're just really close to getting an extra couple of points, and they're in a relegation battle now, but they could easily have had a lot more points on the board.
They could, and Division 1, there's no sympathy there. Like, we all feel for them, and they've got good people involved, again, good Kildare people who want Kildare to do well. But you've just got to, it's cutthroat, you've just got to make these results happen, get the points, whatever way you go about it. With McGeaney, you know, it's interesting because himself, Jack O'Connor, James Horne, they seem to be going all out for the league. Hope the momentum gets them, carries into the championship, gets whatever they do in the championship now. So it's interesting to see how it works out. Normally, you see these teams peter out a wee bit, but because of the condensed form of the fixtures and condensed form of the calendar, then, you know, there might be a lot to be said for having that 100-mile-an-hour start, and there's hope it keeps with you.
Yeah, exactly. And Finian, you'd know Kieran Donaghy well. You'd be good buddies. You'd have played with each other, played against each other numerous times as well. And can you see a small bit of the Kieran Donaghy effect? I think Armagh using the direct ball really well, long diagonal ball. Obviously, we know the dangerous players they have inside, but it looks like he's having a good effect on him.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think up front particularly, he's mixing his basketball knowledge with his own footballing days where, you know, Tom O'Shea used to put in really, really good long diagonal ball, you know, at the right time.
I put in a few as well, but come on.
You did, yeah. Yours were over the corner flag side, but he's definitely, look, he's a clever football guy, Kieran, in fairness to him. He knows, he loves it. He's a student of the game, as I say, but he's, you can kind of see just their movement and the way they get the ball forward quickly to certain parts of the pitch, and everyone knows what's happening, so like it's very clear. He's got clear direction, he's given clear direction, and it's a good mix himself and McGeaney. Obviously McGeaney is very experienced as well, so look, they're improving big time. Obviously they've got, you know, top players, Reen O'Neill and Grugan and those guys there as well, so it's great to see Armagh back kind of at the top, because, you know, they're a county, you know, they've a lot of tradition there. You know, they've had some fantastic, brilliant players over the years. So, like, it's, you know, and I know Eamon mightn't say it's not great to see another.
No, it's not. Another, easy on there, easy on.
Yeah, you'd want to see them down a bit, but no, look, they're playing real good, flamboyant football. They're great to watch. I think,
yeah,
they're super to watch. And if you were sitting down to watch a team on a Sunday now, that they'd be the team because of the way they're playing. But Donny's definitely got a huge influence, and Reen O'Neill will learn a lot from him, and looks like he is already.
Yeah,
so interesting what Donny. I met him, like, and you'd know him far better now, but I met him, and, you know, within 20 minutes, I said, like, you could see that he was so knowledgeable about the coaching aspects of the game. And I had Donaghy in a kind of box, right, this is him, and I was kind of blown away because he was on about these different coaching terms and, you know, analysis of the game, and I was like, geez, I never put you in this box at all.
Donaghy is the most infectious character you'll ever meet, and when it comes to sport, he just soaks it in, like, and he loves it. And the thing about Kieran is he loves people, and yet he likes making people better, so he loves helping and just passing on knowledge. But no, like I said, he's infectious, and I can imagine him around the training with Armagh just passing on little nuggets here and there, that, and being happy to see the fruition from that. But I think it's going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks to see who actually drives on, who actually wants to get to a league final once they're safe. For me, Kerry need to get to a league final. They need the extra game mm-hmm. because they have a good couple of weeks before they play Cork, who, as we've seen, are not at the races at all. For the likes of Armagh, they have done it all. Maybe they don't need the league final. Maybe they need a couple of weeks of training to prep. But if I'm Armagh, I'm going, geez, you have a chance to get to a National League final. It's a national medal. Like, some teams don't appreciate as much. It's a big medal. And look, you know better than me leading into an Ulster Championship. Would it give you an edge, do you know, going in full of confidence? Maybe I'm Donegal wishy-washy a bit. Maybe that's a bit harsh in the league. If Armagh were to go on and get to a league final, maybe even win it, would there be a bit of doubt creeping into Donegal?
I think in terms of, like, the one thing, I have the Ulster Championships, I have the All-Ireland medal, but if anybody forgets the league medal in my CV, I'll be quick to remind them that, you know, I have a league medal there. And it is a national, it's an All-Ireland title. You've played against the top teams in Division 1, and if Armagh have the opportunity, they should push for it.
And like we said, Division 1 is as strong as it's been, ever been. Like, I can't remember it ever being this strong. Like we said, Kildare are playing some great stuff and they're in a relegation fight here, when in another year they could be pushing for the league final themselves. And look, I suppose you could be talking about Division 1 all the time. There's so much going on at the moment. I'm going to go to the Ulster Championship again, and I'm going to stick with you, Eamon, for this, and I'll come to you, Finian, after Antrim and Cavan, Corrigan Park or nowhere. Where are you standing on it?
Oh, I'm pro Antrim here. Corrigan Park it is. I think, again, for me, it's a black and white issue. Corrigan Park is their home ground. Play the game in Corrigan Park, and it's as simple as that. You can argue the financial aspects of it, or, you know, Cavan will say they'll take so many supporters or whatever, but the fact is, Antrim is their home ground. Deal with it. And I think, you know, my reading of the situation, I could be totally wrong here, is it's a bit of a stroke being pulled by, you know, Cavan are playing in Division 4, Antrim are on a crest of a wave.
Division 3.
Yeah. And they want to take any advantage they get. And for me, if I'm a Cavan delegate and I'm taking that to, you know, to Ulster and say we want the game played somewhere else that can host a larger capacity, I'd be nearly embarrassed, to be honest with you. I get the aspect where it's coming from the players or coming from the Cavan football team because of the advantage, but anything else, you know, I'm embarrassed to be taking that to Ulster Council.
Yeah, I think I'd be the same. What do you reckon, Finian? What's your thoughts on it?
I agree with Eamon, yeah, definitely. I think it's, you know, look, let them have the game. You know, it goes back to, like, as you said, with regards to the FA Cup and stuff like that, you know, like, take it away from Salford or playing Man City and they can't play. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, look, it'd be a great atmosphere up there, and it'll be just, you know, Antrim football needs that lift. It needs, you know, it, like, look, they've got the second biggest population in the country. Like, we need Antrim football back up and running. I know everyone wants to see it back doing well as well. So whatever lift they need or they want, or whatever help that they can get. And this is obviously a big deal to them. So look, I hope they make a stance, and I hope they get it over the line.
Yeah, well, as far as I know, they've moved it to a neutral venue, which I personally agree with both of you. I think, what's the point of a home and away draw if it's only going to count if you have such a capacity of over a certain amount or whatever? And like that, it always comes down to the
and it's disappointed that the other counties, the likes of Donegal and, you know, other counties didn't back up. They rode in behind the financial argument, which is really, really disappointing, because Donegal advocated for taking the games out of Croke Park and the Dublin. No, that whole furore over Dublin playing in Croke Park. Donegal put a motion that says they should be playing in a neutral venue. So to see them then not back up Antrim is really disappointing. But hopefully, if I'm Antrim, and, you know, it's got to be called out, Enda McGinley is doing amazing work, and they need this game to be played in Corrigan Park, and they make an issue of that, and they eyeball the Ulster Council, I think they'll come out on top of it.
Yeah, well, hopefully no, because I think, look, we're both in agreement, three of us are in agreement about it, that it's unfair, and look, hopefully they'll get over the line, and if not, I hope they come out on top of that championship game, because to be an awful kick in the stomach for Cavan to be making such a fuss over it and then not go over and get the job done.
I think so. I think we'll all be wearing the Anthem jersey that day now.
Yeah. And Finian, there was a card fest down in Hyde Park over the weekend. Roscommon and Derry. I think it was 18 cards in total, 14 yellow, 2 blacks and 2 reds. One very, very, very harsh one for Shane McGuigan, who was rightly feeling very aggrieved.
Yeah, it was. It was an interesting game. I suppose, look, you know, teams are trying to get a bit of needle. Like, teams are sometimes, you know, seen as being too soft. And, you know, we need to up, you know, that element, the dark arts and stuff like that, to get really, you know, to get up with the top teams or whatever. So it looks like Derry and Roscommon are really trying to get in teams' faces and be a bit more aggressive. And we saw that on Sunday. I think, like, there was a lot of cards, but there was a lot of off the ball and slowing the game down and stuff like that. Look, it's not great to watch, but I think it's something that, particularly in the forwards, you know, teams are trying to slow the game down so that they can set up defensively. But look, that red card from McGuigan was absolutely ludicrous. You know, like, he was being absolutely mauled to the ground. It was kind of strange after. They kind of went hugging. I wasn't sure were they going hugging or what they were going to do, but he certainly didn't deserve. You know, the instigator is the back. Sure, he's running up the pitch. He's trying to get up to get the winning score. So look, it was a ludicrous call in my eyes. But two teams going really well, and you know, Galway have to play the two of them yet. So there's an intriguing end to Division Two for the top three teams.
Yeah, and like you said, Galway have to play the two of them. And do you know what? It's probably great for Galway leading into the Mayo game that they will be playing two of the strongest opposition in Division 2 going into that, which will be a help. They're obviously 100% record at the moment. They're top scorers. So Padraig Joyce and his team above are getting a lot right.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think you're right. It's going to the Hyde and going up to, like, Derry. You could be playing Derry up in Inishowen or whatever it is. So it's you know, two really tough games, which is great because they've had kind of played a lot of the weaker sides, you know, up to now. But they're two, you know, games of pressure, really, because Galway want to be in Division 1. They need to be in Division 1. So, you know, you need to be, you know, full press for those two games, because, you know, we need to get a point. I think we'll get us up and back to where we want to be. I think Pádraig will be happy with the way the league has gone. You know, we're in with a chance, and they're, you know, they're kind of championship games before the championship, which is great. Yeah. And Derry are flying it. So, Derry is always difficult, but, you know, this year particularly, because they've improved big time under Rory Gallagher. I know Eamon will know Rory well, and he seemed to, you know, he's mixing the defensive side with the attack, and Shane McGuigan is one of the best forwards in the country at the minute. So tough games, but I think we have enough to definitely get up.
Yeah, and I think you need to go back to how ridiculous the call that Shane McGuigan thing was.
It cost him the game, because he would have kicked that over. Mm.
And it just shows you, like, because we've all been part of teams where, you know, corner forward sitting in a yellow card, target him, get him involved in a wee scuffle, he'll pick up a second, he's gone. But McGuigan did everything. He put the hands up, and he did everything right in terms of, you know, there was common man was engaged with him, he was wrestling him, and McGuigan was just showing everybody. Yeah. And he still picked up that second yellow, and it's incredibly frustrating.
Oh, it is, and it just shows a lack of cop on by the referees and the officials. Because, like you said, it was very obvious he was trying to avoid getting involved in anything while he was on the ground. And, you know what, it does frustrate. And you could see the frustration in Shane McGuigan coming off the field. You know, you do everything right. You try and avoid all this stuff, and you get dragged into it. But I
think it's not even a cop-on. I think there's just so much pressure on officials now. Safe option, two yellows.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating. See if you know, you're a corner forward and that happens. Yeah, like Clifford, the same thing happened to Clifford. So 2 years ago
against Tyrone,
up in Tyrone, 3 years ago maybe, and
it's common now. It's happening all the time. Like you said, you do target the forward, but in that instance, you have to think: why would the forward who's trying to get up into the attack be joining an altercation with the back? But I suppose from a Derry point of view, the fans must be loving it up there at the moment. People must be loving Rory Gallagher. They're doing really well like that. They're pushing for promotion. Finian, you said it there earlier. Galway need to be in Division 1. And it's the same with the likes of Derry. If they want to kick on, you need to be in Division 1. You need to be competing against the best teams. But I suppose there is one person who doesn't like Rory Gallagher very much, and that was Joe Brawley moaning about him again.
Joe Brawley moaning.
Unusual.
It's unusual. Now, listen, it's very hard to separate the the real Joe Brawley from the persona Joe Brawley is created as part of this whole media, because, you know, I know a lot of people disagree. Joe Brawley is a decent skin somewhere. There's a decent skin under there when he comes out with all this nonsense. And a lot of it is nonsense, and a lot of it is like playing to the gallery. So there's an awful lot of stuff that I wouldn't take too seriously with Joe, but he does cross the line. He does cross some of the stuff. He said something about Donegal a few weeks ago when they lost the game. I think he questioned, you know, their bottlers or their quitters was the word. Mm. And it was so uncalled for. Like,
but that's exactly what it is. It's uncalled for. Like, and these are the same players that we're saying shouldn't be getting expenses, yet you're able to criticise them openly, like calling people bottlers, whatever. And that's what county players are doing. They're putting themselves out there. Do you know, we're going back to that argument again about expenses. But look, I think he says a lot of stuff.
He does. For the reaction. And he talks a lot about, you know, with the GA, about values and the ethos. And, you know, do we call people quitters? And go back to his famous Sean Kavanagh rant on national TV, you know, having a go. It's just nonsense. And, you know, again, emphasize there's a decent skin somewhere in there. There's a good lad.
And I'm going to stick with Division 2 for now. And I suppose another game that caught my eye the weekend was Meath and Cork. It was a big win for Meath. But for me, I'm looking at Cork, and Cork had just gone so poor at the moment. And I suppose we kind of mentioned it beforehand. It was 10 or 15 years ago, the GAA said that the GAA needs Dublin. I think the GAA needs Cork, because at the moment, Cork football is at a low ebb. I do think Keith Ricken will get it right there eventually. But I think Colm Cooper mentioned it on the league Sunday last night that it's a 3-year plan. I'd be going as far as saying it's five-year plan, but it's worrying. They were just so poor again yesterday.
You know, we mentioned Antrim, Derry. Antrim, Derry and Cork are three, because we've had the blue wave in Dublin, are three areas that, you know, the GA need. They're population centres, they're big urban areas, and they need something done about them. You know, you leave it with the county board so long, see can they get in order, and if not, you know, the GA's got to come in here and say, why is it not working here? What's going wrong? Because some of the stuff that, you know, went on there yesterday was crazy stuff.
That was crazy. And Finian, you would have played Cork there a couple of weeks ago down in Cork, and geez, you kicked a cricket score.
Yeah, it's not good to see. I suppose it's kind of reminiscent really here about like Galway and where we were, you know, from 2010, 2011 to 2015, 16, kind of in a real transitional year period, and, you know, bringing in players we lost, you know, Park Joyce had left, and, you know, Michael Meehan was kind of gone and injured, and we lost kind of the last of the All-Ireland winners or whatever, and we found it very hard to kind of, you know, get back to a level, you know. So I kind of feel their pain, but it's a difficult period for Cork, and as you say, it could be a five year plan to really get it up and running. Obviously, hurling's a big thing in Cork. Cork's a huge county, massive county with, you know, traditions in rugby, basketball. There's so much going on there as well. So, it's difficult to watch, and obviously Kerry, you know. Like Kerry are going to be playing Munster Championship this year. They're going to cruise through it, which isn't good either. Like, you know, it's not good. And if they play Cork and they hammer them, we're like, where are we then? You know, so it's very, very difficult to see. And obviously Meath, another traditional. But I agree with Eamon there. I think the GAA need to look at these places like Antrim, Derry, you know, and really get in there and help them out, because we need these counties to be to the fore. To, you know, like, it can't just be all about certain parts of the country. It's got to be about, you know, like Cork need help and they need it now.
Well, yeah. The fact that they've laid the template with Dublin, so why stop with Dublin now? Why not just
big time, yeah.
The successful template, I may add, with Dublin, get it out. And, you know, it's got to be tapered to suit the different counties, but they've put the money in, and they've done the commitment with the capital, which I feel was needed. And, you know, I agree with, and it was so successful. It's created a monster now. So let's do it in other counties now.
Yeah, I think there's
huge, there's huge facilities in Cork as well. Just sorry, Darren. There's huge like facilities. Cork are like, you know, they've Mallow, they've centres of excellence. They've got loads of really, really good pitches, lights. They've got, you know, they've a lot more than we have in Galway, certainly, you know, and like they have all the facilities. Obviously, their hurlers now are really going big time and could be serious, will be serious All-Ireland contenders this year. So, look, that's obviously tough as well because you've probably got a number of hurlers that could feature in the football panel as well. So, but they do, look, they're a huge county and Cork football going well. Obviously, we saw when we were playing, you know, they did brilliant teams from 2000. They were, you know, they won four leagues and All-Ireland. They were brilliant, you know. They had some brilliant players. So hopefully they'll get back because you need Cork football going well.
Yeah, I think so. And look, obviously, I'm saying it from a selfish point of view with Kerry as well. Like, but geez, the Cork battles we used to have were unbelievable. The Munster finals were brilliant. And the unfortunate thing at the moment, and I think the worst thing for Cork football is when the hurlers do well. But just while we're on it, I want to give a special mention actually to Mickey Moran, who seems to be calling time in his 40-year management career. It was some innings he had above an Ulster.
It was, you know, I think Mickey was involved with Donegal just before I came on the scene. And I think
that's a long time ago.
It was 2002. Jeez, you're making me feel old now. And the lads all speak so highly of him as a good person.
That's the standout for me of all the club players. Now he's been interviewed after, they talk about what an amazing man he is.
And you know, it's so good when you see him walking Croke Park after what it meant to him. And you know, that wee moment where he just went down and he kissed the grass. That's, he obviously just loves and breathes it. And you know, it's, I would say he's saying he's stepping away, but you know, when he has a passion like that, you just can't switch it off. He'll be involved in some club somewhere along the line.
Yeah, I think so. Like you said there, when you have a passion for it, it's very hard to switch it off. But unfortunately, that's all we have time for in today's show. I want to thank my two guests, Eamon and Finian. Thank you very much for joining me on my first show. The pressure was on.
We got through that, no bother, did we?
Not true, I'm losing weight.
We didn't say anything like the Gooch is a one-trick pony or two-trick pony or anything silly like that, did we?
That's next week. Thanks for tuning in. I was absolutely delighted to get the first show up and running. Join me next week where we'll be discussing all the latest GA action. See you then.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
The final whistle is all over. Jim Gavin, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer. But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Kieran McCall, it's high, it's over. Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
I know Joe done a personal assassination of him this morning.
It was not an assassination of him. We have to look
at the context. Shut up, will you?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think of that?